football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the CBFA podcast. Myself, Cole Fortner, alongside me, as always, my co-host, James Park.
Hello.
Week 9 and the regular season is in the books. We are I don't even know where my train of thought was going on. We're in the regular season. It's been 9 weeks of good, interesting football, and we're finally got the playoff seeds locked, and it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks as we determine who goes on to provincials and who wins trophies.
Right. We're there. It's what we've been working towards all year.
It is, and yeah, it's been a season.
It's been an interesting season for sure.
This week compared to a lot of the weeks in the early half of the season wasn't as close, but I think that was kind of what we were anticipating. The day opened up with the Wildcats taking on the Lions, and it was all Wildcats pretty much. The Lions were in it for a bit for the first half, and then the Wildcats just kind of took it away and, you know, did what they do in that situation and proved why they are one of the top four teams in the league this year. The Lions are definitely hurting compared to where they were earlier in the season, and they weren't able to get the win that they needed to this week. And the final score in that game was 36-0. In the meantime, while that was happening, there was a game up in Airdrie between the Raiders and the Bulldogs. It actually was an interesting battle from what I was told and what I vaguely remember. The Raiders caught up 8-0 in the first half. I think it was 28-0 at halftime before being 32-0 at the end of the third and a 48-0 final. I can't really speak into much detail with it, with being at Shoal Ice versus that game being up in Airdrie, but it would appear the Bulldogs were in that game for at least the first quarter and were able to keep it close for a couple quarters, but the second quarter got away from them a little bit. And yeah, the Raiders just working their untouched magic again.
Some offensive highlights. Raiders offense continued to showcase its versatility, racking up 430 total yards on just 32 plays. Quarterback Davin Bankababoni, number 10, completed 8 of 10 passes for 129 yards and 2 touchdowns, adding a short rushing score as well. Running back Christian McElliott, number 20, powered the ground game with 102 rushing yards and a 43-yard touchdown run, while Hudson McLeod, number 11, added 60 yards and a 51-yard touchdown on the ground and threw a 100-yard touchdown pass to Brady Latica, number 2, late in the game. Latica led all receivers with 115 yards, while Marshall Stevens, number 6, continued his strong season with 89 yards and a 42-yard touchdown. Peyton Grant, number 5, opened the scoring with a 6-yard touchdown catch to cap an early drive.
The most interesting game of the day was the second game of the day at Shoal Ice Athletic Park, was between the Stampeders and the Colts. The Stampeders scored early, and then the Colts actually managed to come back and take the lead. No, sorry, it was the other way around. The Colts scored early. Stampeders managed to come back and take the lead just before halftime. That game was extremely back and forth compared to a lot of our other games. I don't fully remember what happened in that game. Again, it's really hard to remember looking through a camera lens. But the Stampeders did end up taking that one 38-22. Those two teams were battling for positions. That was probably one of their most crucial games of the season so far, kind of like a playoff game for them in a way. And the Stampeders managed to just edge out the Colts. And that game, it came down to late in the game before the Stampeders got up by a couple scores.
Right. Yeah, and I could only scoreboard watch this weekend, so this game was clearly the game of the day.
The third game of the day, or the or sorry, the third game of the day, Scholes, the fourth game of the day in total, was the Eagles taking on the Mavericks. The Eagles were all over the Mavericks, which wasn't too much of a surprise. They have been probably the second best team throughout the entirety of the season,
Yeah.
and moved the ball extremely well, and there wasn't a whole lot the Mavericks defense could do. The Eagles did end up taking that one 30 to nothing. And then the final game of the day was the Cowboys taking on the Rebels. And the Rebels, they had a hard-fought game. The scoreline really does not reflect it, and Chris did a really good job in announcing that. At the end of that game, it like the Rebels were in that game throughout the entirety of it. Unfortunately, the Cowboys defense, well, unfortunately for the Rebels, the Cowboys defense was just too much for their offense. And they weren't able to produce anything on the scoreboard. But yeah, it's they're in that tough situation of they finished the season without a win heading into the playoffs, where they really and truly shouldn't be. And we've mentioned that theory throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys looked good, and they're going to look to keep that momentum rolling from this game into the playoffs because they have a tough opponent next. But they end up winning that game 44 to nothing.
Yeah, and we can't say enough about, the no quit attitude of this Rebels team, right? They have played their hearts out all year, and I hope that they realize that the record doesn't reflect their level of effort, and that we see them, we see that effort.
So additionally happening on the weekend, which happened before our third game of the day at Scholes, was our unofficial inaugural CBFA Wall of Fame inductee week, where we inducted four members onto our Wall of Fame that now sits outside the CBFA trailer. Those inductees were Dave Hardy with the Bantam Stampeders, Greg Wilson and Craig Riordan, who are with the Wildcats. Craig is also a member of our board of directors. And Mark Iannuzzi, who is a member of the BC Lions and has won basically everything in his football career. Bios are up on our social media. And yeah, just taking a look at just all of what everyone's done throughout the years for the CBFA and in their own personal careers and stuff. There's many of reasons of why they were inducted onto our Wall of Fame this year. And yeah, it was a good little ceremony. Family's out and stuff, and yeah, it
That's
was a fun
very
time.
cool. Yeah, and yeah, such worthy inductees, right? I mean, they each individually have donated so much of their time and effort, and not only to the product that we see on game day Saturday, but all the quiet moments when nobody's watching, they're still plugging away and working, and they have been for, 30 plus years each.
I don't want to correct my statement that Marco was a member of the BC Lions. He has retired from the CFL, but
Yeah.
he still won the Grey Cup with the Lions when he was playing and stuff. And yeah, it's a really, really good career.
And I didn't see which team is he an alumni of in the CBFA?
Cowboys.
Cowboys alumni. There you go. Yeah. So I recognize Marco's name from his CFL days. I didn't realize he was a former Cowboy. So cool. That's very cool.
And yeah, that officially, I guess, kind of wrapped up the regular season. We did have 9 aside games as well. I'll do under standings first.
Let's get into the standings first.
Okay, backtracking a little bit because the segues are struggling this week. taking a look at the standings after week 9, the Raiders topped the league with a perfect 9-0 record. They are followed by the Eagles and the Wildcats, who both had a 7-2 record. The Eagles hold that advantage as they did win that head-to-head matchup. The Cowboys came in fourth place, securing that final Division One playoffs seed with a record of 6-3. The Bulldogs sit fifth and will have home field advantage throughout Div 2 playoffs with a record of 4-4-1. Mavericks came in right behind them in sixth with a record of 4-5. Stampeders finished seventh, edging out the Colts in that week 9 game. They have a record of 3-6. The Colts sit at 1-8, holding the eighth seed and the final seed of that Div 2 bracket. The Lions are 1-5 due to the sanctions put in place on them last week. So they sit ninth and will host the Rebels, who finished 0-9.
Yeah,
And that
and
wraps
so
up.
all of our matchups for next week are set. Opening round of the playoffs.
We'll foreshadow that, but first with the 9-a-side games. 9-a-side games happened on Saturday. It was the last week of games for them. It was kind of like their playoff matchups. And I was actually there for all three of them, so I actually have notes for once. Sunday opened up with the Eagles taking on Wildcats 1. It's actually a fairly even game for both sides of the ball. Wildcats opened up the scoring early-ish in the first quarter, and that was actually all they ended up managing to get. Eagles scored in the second quarter, and then again in the fourth quarter, and actually ended up taking that one 12-8, picking up their first win of the 9-a-side season.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. The second game of the day was the Raiders taking on Wildcats 2, and that one was pretty much all Raiders. Two touchdowns in the first quarter, one of which being a 55-yard run. They got another two in the second quarter, one in the third quarter. That one was an 84-yard punt return touchdown. And then the Wildcats kind of finally came to life in the fourth quarter and managed to score a couple of touchdowns of their own. One thing I noticed primarily in that game was the Raiders won the turnover battle. They had two picks and a fumble recovery, which kind of hindered the Wildcats a little bit. And the Raiders were able to score off of a couple of those turnovers, as well as the that punt return that they had. But yeah, it was just all Raiders basically until the fourth quarter, and the Raiders ended up winning that one 32-14.
Whew.
So the Wildcats, who were sitting third and fourth entering the final week of games, didn't look the greatest in those games.
Came out a little flat after a week off.
The Thanksgiving bye week, yeah. The final game of the day kind of was a slow burner in the first half compared to the other two. The Chiefs opened up the scoring with an 80-yard rushing touchdown, and apart from a couple turnovers each way and what we were calling the simulated punts, because it would be on third down, the teams wouldn't actually punt the ball. They would just tell the referees that they're punting the ball, so they would walk the ball down the next amount of yards, and the referees were getting more referees and six were moving the ball more than the players were
Oh,
for
goodness.
a few drives in a row. there was quite a few times where the ball really didn't move. And so it was compared to the first two games, it was a really slow burner. Chiefs did manage to double their lead in the third quarter before scoring their third touchdown of the game in the fourth quarter. Cowboys did start to make a game of it late in the fourth, with a pair of touchdowns, one of which being an 83-yard passing touchdown. They were doing a really good job of throwing the ball up over the middle. So they do have good quarterback progress coming up. Seamus Kelly was their cue, so one to watch for the future. But I think one of the things that hindered them with some of their passes that were deep over the middle was their receivers were getting open. They were just getting gassed, it looked like, and just getting hunted down from behind from the Chiefs defense. And they could have had a few long touchdowns in that game, but they ended up just being like about 40, 50-yard passing plays instead. Couple onside kick attempts were unsuccessful for the Cowboys, and the Chiefs added a 70-yard rushing touchdown late in the fourth quarter to kind of seal the deal. They ended up taking that one 32-16 and finished the NFC season undefeated.
Wow, good for them. But
yeah, so after a lot of struggles for the Chiefs this year, it's good to see that they've been able to do that in the Niners side.
Yeah, that's something else. Nice. Solid finish to the season.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good finish to the Niners side season. And it kind of puts into perspective what we have happening next week, which is the opening week of the playoffs. Which I think has a couple of better matchups. Of course, every game is going to be good because it's better because it's the playoffs. So, you know, players are going to be wanting it more. But yes, yeah, it's, I think there's definitely a couple matchups that are going to be a little bit tighter and harder to call. Taking a look at the matchups for our quarterfinals. We start off the day with our 6-7 matchup, which is the Mavericks taking on the Stampeders at 8:30 at Hellard. Last time these two teams played, the Mavericks beat the Stampeders 9-0 in week 6.
Wow.
That game came down late. You were announcing that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Scoreless for a lot of that game.
Yeah.
So our first game of the day should be a banger to start off. It's going to be one of the harder ones to call. The second game of the day features the 5th seed Bulldogs taking on the 8th seed Colts. The Colts are in for a bit of a tougher matchup. The Bulldogs did win that first one, their first meeting, 41-6, 2 weeks ago in week 8. But the Colts are also going to be without their star running back, Svetek Sarita, due to a injury that he picked up last week. I won't go into many details about it, but I have heard what the injury is, and it is, to my knowledge, extremely rare, and I'm not entirely sure how it's happened. But I hope the recovery for him isn't too terribly long. But yeah, it's not ideal situation.
Well, no injury is, you know, good, but they are a part of all sports. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but, next man up.
Yep. Next man up is definitely going to be key for the Colts if they want to advance to the Div 2 finals. In the Div 1 bracket, we have the second-place Eagles taking on the third-place Wildcats in play as what is the most even matchup in our postseason. Both teams coming into that game with a 7-2 record. I don't remember off the top of my head what their points for and against are. I'm going to have to find that. The Eagles 240... 4-1-13 against Wildcats 293 for 100 against, so it's pretty even-ish, especially on defense.
Yeah.
And when they played each other last was in week four, and the Eagles won that game off of the punt rouge, where the returner couldn't get the ball to the end zone, and they ended up winning that one 25-24.
Yeah.
So that game is also expected to be
Very
extremely
close.
good, especially if it's anything like what happened in week four.
Yeah. There's
We
going to
could
be
see overtimes this week, James.
some good games.
We could see overtimes because we do have overtimes in the playoffs.
We could see we yeah, overtime is possible, but we could see more rouges.
And then the final game of the day features the first place Raiders taking on the fourth place Cowboys. That is happening at 3:15 at Hillard Fields. The Raiders won that matchup 2 weeks ago, 32-0 of the Cowboys. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Cowboys can hold their own a bit more and may bring a bit of a fight to the Raiders. I know that Coach Cooper will be definitely trying to do that with his team.
Yeah, that's going to be a tall order, but they'll be ready if yeah, I don't know, I don't know who else is going to have a better shot at beating the Raiders this year other than maybe Raymond Comets.
Which could be a potential first round semi-final tier one provincial game. Unlike last year, we only have one team going to provincials from Div 1. So it's only our winner. Last year was our winner and our runner-up. So we're not hosting this year. So even more important to win that city final in 2 weeks' time and not just make it there.
Right.
And that winner does play the winner of the South Alberta League. So even more likelihood that it could be Raymond.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're always tough. And if and well, that's right. You're gonna have to travel down there, right? And yeah, we all already know that it might be a different game if Raymond had to play at Ed Eggers Field. If that was a home game for the Raiders, that would
Well,
be,
maybe be playing shoulders, but yeah.
I know, but if they could play there, that what a home game that would
Sure.
be. But that's exactly the kind of atmosphere that they'll have to face down Raymond.
Well, and not just the Raiders, but anybody, even if the other three teams, the Eagles, Wildcats, and Cowboys win.
Right. We're not counting them out. It's just yeah, it would take, quite an upset right now to knock off a 9-0 team.
But again, we saw that last year, the Raiders beat the Colts in the finals.
That's true. That's why we play them.
And then the other two teams are our Division 3 finalists, the Lions and the Rebels, and they both have a bye this week. And they'll be playing their next game on Saturday, November 1st. And we'll talk about that more next week.
Yeah, as we preview our city final Saturday matchups. This is semifinal Saturday coming up.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, actually, we don't have the Monday games this year.
I think we're all happy about that.
I mean, I got some really nice pictures from the Monday semifinal last year in the Div 3 game because it was the only day or only game in the year where it was actually snowing.
Yeah.
And it was night, and I was getting some really nice photos. That was the
Snow
only
does
thing that
make a
was nice
nice
about
backdrop.
it.
Yeah, snow makes a nice backdrop as long
To be
as
fair,
it's
I think that
not
game
too thick
usually
to cover the lines.
I think that game is usually the one that's usually like the worst weather-wise.
The Div 3 semifinal.
The Monday night
Yeah.
October game,
Yeah, well, and that's it. We don't have a Div 3 semifinal this year. Our 11th team ended up sweeping the nine-a-sides.
Yeah, I think that's select letters went out this week. So players and parents can talk to their coaches regarding those. Hopefully they have received them already by now. I do know that there was a bit of misconception about how the selects are selected. So I did post on our social media a bit of a more layman's terms explanation, which I'll quickly read off right now. So how the process of the CBFA selects being selected are at the start of the year, in the first like 2 weeks of the season, the coaches nominate a certain amount of players that they should be a select to the league. Then over the next 6 or so weeks, the league evaluates those nominees, picks players that they feel will be suited to try out for the team. Now, just because a player is nominated doesn't mean that they'll be invited. And just because a player isn't nominated from their coach doesn't mean that they won't be invited. There are numerous instances where a player not listed has standout performances throughout the season and they earn themselves a letter despite not initially being nominated by their coaching staff.
Right.
From there's about 80 or so players that are given letters from all teams. It is not a team performance based thing. It is based on the player's individual performance. And I think that's kind of where a little bit of the conception was, or misconception was it's not an all-star team. We're not taking the best players from the best team in the league. We're taking the best selected athletes. And that's from every single team. Then from there, there is tryouts, which this year is actually going to be a little bit later. It is actually happening after the provincial final. So those who receive the letter will try out in various positions over 2 days and basically try to fight and earn their spot on a 30-man roster, which then travels to go play in a tournament. And this year we are going to Vancouver. We have confirmed.
Aha. So that's something we can now talk about too.
I don't know if we're really allowed to talk about that yet by now, but
You said it's confirmed.
it's
That's good
confirmed.
enough
I
for
still
me.
don't know if we're allowed to talk about it.
Oh, well.
Don't know if it's in the letter or not. Hold on, give me a second. Perks of having a traveling coach on the roster or coaching staff. Oh, yes, it does say we're traveling to British Columbia. So yes, it's public knowledge now. There we go. I didn't spoil anything.
Good stuff.
So instead of the t-shirt and shorts while we're in Vegas, we're getting rain and wind
Yeah,
and more
rain
mainland.
jacket and sweatpants.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, no, so then those 30 players will, they are the players that show the most heart and determination and grit during the tryouts and the ones who really, really earn it.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to be a select, and there's a reason why those players, they thrive at high school and have a higher chance of being drafted because they show that they want to play football long term.
Yeah, they show the not only the athletic prowess that earned them the invitation. But also the willingness to be coached and the willingness to put everything they have into the effort of playing the game at the highest level that they possibly can.
And I can also confirm that on top of these selects, I think the Wildcats, the Wildcats going out to Saskatchewan in January for a tournament out there.
But that's cool.
As a separate initiative that the Wildcats have done upon themselves.
Yeah, but that's still pretty cool.
Yeah. That's hosted by the Sask Selects, who actually played a game against last year and I believe might be sending a team out to BC. That was actually probably the best game we had in Vegas last year, was against the Sask Selects, which is a bit of irony considering the fact that we had to travel to the US and our best game was against a Canadian team. I will also note that the Sask Selects were age year older than the CBFA Selects, but we won't get into that too much.
Now you're splitting hairs.
And our boys put up a fight and were in that game.
Yeah, they were in it the whole way. It was a hard fought game.
And yeah, I think that's really it. I do remember I actually have something else we can talk about. We really want to increase the editing and duration of this podcast episode. I have been given the scoring stats for the regular season.
Oh.
Because the CBFA does track loosely the scoring stats from the games.
We track scoring plays.
Yeah, those. So I can confirm that the player who scored the most points for the season, I don't know if you want to take a guess at which team it came from.
I'm going to guess it's the Raiders.
You'd actually be wrong. It's not the Raiders.
Really?
It is a member of the Eagles. Jacob Steen, Jacob Steenian has 102 points on the season. Six of which were touchdown runs, three touchdown passes. He was also their kicker, so he has 19 converts and four field goals.
Wow.
Second and third are members of the Raiders. We have Blake Hamilton and Christian McElliott. Hamilton on 81 points, McElliott on 68. Hamilton had 34 converts, a rouge, and four field goals. Mars McElligott had seven rushing touchdowns, three passing touchdowns, a single points to make up his 68. So it would have been a 1 point convert.
Yeah.
Then Lewis Wang led the Wildcats, eight rushing touchdowns, one passing touchdown, had 54 points. Harlan Zunti with the Lions had three rushing touchdowns, five passing touchdowns, 48 points. Was tied with Devin Bankaboni, who threw eight passing touchdowns. Then the Bulldogs' leading scorer was Ethan Foss, 12 converts, a rouge, and six field goals. Colts' leading scorer was number one, Sadiq Sreda, who had six rushing touchdowns and two converts. Cowboys leading scorer is Brayson Hudson, one passing touchdown, one interception or kick return touchdown. It's probably kick return. Actually, no, he's one linebacker. So probably a pick six. Nine converts and three field goals. Rebels leading scorer was Alex Corbett, two rushing touchdowns, two passing touchdowns, three converts. I don't know what other teams I'm missing. Stampeders, Stas Obrinkowski, three converts, one field goal. Have I missed anybody? Mavericks, Kyle Chevrier, two rushing touchdowns, one pass touchdown, three converts, and a rouge or a safety, one of the two. It's like questionable statistic. I blame Dan. Yeah, it's a very, very detailed list, and there's been a lot of point scores. It's almost 2 pages long.
Cool.
From 102 points down to one. That's information that we don't usually have on the podcast.
Yeah, that's the first for us.
But yeah, I think that'll do it for this week. We have four playoff games starting next week, and it should be some good ones. And we'll be back next week to discuss those. And in the meantime, James.
Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening.